Now we're going to turn to the Word of God. We're going to look again at the first letter of Paul. I'm sorry, the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians. Colossians and chapter 1. We're going to read the first 14 verses. Colossians chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 14. Let us hear then the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does also among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, we began looking at this prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Colossae a few weeks ago. And I made the point when we began to look at it from verse 3. This is where Paul's prayer for the church in Colossae begins. It begins at verse 3 and goes on all the way to verse 12. And when we began looking at it from verse 3, I made certain points as a kind of an introduction, and I was making the point that Paul had this habit. He always gave thanks to God for whichever group he was praying for. So whichever church or whichever individual he was praying for, he always began with thanksgiving. And that's how he begins this prayer. You notice from verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So it's a habit that we need to imitate, because it helps us in our Christian lives to think about things that are worthy of giving thanks. I made the point that some of the churches to whom Paul wrote, there were a lot of problems when he wrote to the church in Corinth. That church in Corinth had a huge amount of personal sins, and the church itself had divisions, and the church itself had all sorts of problems, moral problems within it. And yet when Paul began to write to the Corinthians, he says to them in his first letter, he says, I begin by giving thanks for you. So I encourage you, imitate Paul in praying for others and imitate Paul in giving thanks. Now, we've looked at verses 3 to 8. We saw the things for which he gives thanks. And we saw that he gave thanks because they loved the people of God. They had faith in Christ, and this faith in Christ came because of the hope that was laid up for them in heaven. So we were looking at the structure of verses 3 to 8. And then last time we were looking at verse 9, because what he does in verses 3 to 8, he gives thanks. That's the thanksgiving portion of the prayer, verses 3 to 8. And then 9 to 12 is the actual prayer. It's the requests, if you like. It's the supplication. So last week we began to look at verse 9, and I was making the point that this is one of the most important verses in this letter. A lot of writers identify verse 9 as the key verse to the letter. And we saw last week that I was making the points that he doesn't cease to pray for them. And then when he prays for them, essentially what he's praying for, this is the point I was making last week, essentially what he's praying for is that God, the Holy Spirit, would come to visit them and give them knowledge and wisdom of God's will for them. That is the need every Christian has. We need the Holy Spirit of God to come and fill us. When you look in the book of Acts, you read in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he filled the disciples who were gathered in the upper room. And we are told that those disciples then had power. We're told that Peter then preached. So we have this account of the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But then if you go on in Acts to chapter 4, you find something very interesting. You find that the Holy Spirit comes again. And he fills the disciples again. And you find that again they have boldness. And again they have unity. And again they have care for one another. So it's very interesting. You notice in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and the believers receive him. And they're united in one purpose. And they have courage to speak. And they care for one another, they pray for one another, look after each other. Acts chapter 4 is almost a parallel of Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes again. Again they have unity. Again they care for one another. They pray for each other. Now, what this tells us is that we as believers, regularly we need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting if you read the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he says to them, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the English, the translation is be filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not what the Greek says. And I think the English translators do us an injustice. They should actually change that phrase. The best way of translating it, it's rather awkward. It doesn't flow well in the English language. It's not very elegant. But the best way of translating Ephesians 4 in the Greek is be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be the kind of Christian who is regularly and constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, is how Ephesians 4 should be translated. Do not be drunk on wine, which leads to dissipation, but have this lifestyle where you are continuously, regularly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now there's a reason why God gives us that command. And in Ephesians 4, it's a command. So you have in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, the actual example, and then Ephesians 4 tells us what's happening, and Ephesians 4 then lays it out as a command. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for it is that we as Christians, we become stale. We as Christians lose our fire. We as Christians lose our zeal. We as Christians become lukewarm. We become half-hearted. We become seduced by the world and the pressures of life. And the pressures of life in the world, and the pleasures of the world, the possessions of the world, and family life, and demands of family life, all these begin to crowd in upon us. And we begin to lose our vim, our zeal for the Lord. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. This happens to all of us. Perhaps it's happened to you. It certainly happened to me. I remember many times going through my Christian life and thinking, I do pray daily for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. But I remember going through times thinking, I'm just so stale. You know, I'm lifeless. I'm limp, as it were. I'm just dragging along in my Christian life, just bumping along in my Christian life. But no zeal, no power, no life, no sold out for God. You know, no heart on fire for God. Because all sorts of things have come in, and many of them are genuine things, family concerns and various other things like that. And we begin to become distracted. And the Lord knows us. And so the Lord has put down these examples for us in Acts and the command for us in Ephesians 4, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, brethren, that's what we should do every day. We should every day pray. And I urge you, do this. Do it. Pray every day. And ask God every day to fill you afresh with His Spirit. If you have gone stale, and you are half-hearted, and you are, you know, lukewarm, well, come to God. God isn't going to condemn you. You remember the letter to the church in Laodicea. And Christ says to the church in Laodicea, this is in Revelation chapter 3, and Christ says to the church in Laodicea, I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. And I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But he doesn't say, because you're lukewarm, that's the end of our relationship. I've decided to do this. He then says to them, repent. In other words, pray. If you're lukewarm, do something about it. And come to God and pray. And he, in that letter to the Laodiceans, he says, come to me and buy from me. In other words, come and ask me for things. Now, you know, we never buy anything from God. God gives everything freely and graciously. But he uses the word buy to show that what we get is of great value. And he says to the church in Laodicea, you come and buy from me. In other words, I've got things of great value to give you. Come. And I think the church in Laodicea, perhaps over many years, just drifted from being a church that was sold out for the Lord and keen and full of fire and full of zeal and full of energy. And wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. And I think they just drifted little by little by. It's like a boiled kettle of water. You know, you touch it after 2 minutes. It isn't at boiling point, but it isn't cold. You touch it after 4 minutes. It isn't at boiling point. But it isn't freezing cold. You touch it after 5 minutes. But you see, gradually, and of course, an hour later, 2 hours later, all the heat has gone. Gradually, it has dissipated. And that happens to Christians. And God says to the church in Laodicea, come back. And I think the church in Laodicea perhaps never prayed that God, the Holy Spirit, would come and fill each member. Perhaps no member ever prayed that. I don't know. I mean, I was discussing this with somebody yesterday, and I was saying one of the things with me is that because I'm fairly new still at COPS, I don't know the background, and I don't know what teaching we've had on the Holy Spirit. But this is something that God gives us in the Bible. And God gives it to us as an example in Acts. Acts chapter 2, the church is filled with the Spirit. But then Acts chapter 3, the church meets with opposition. The man at the temple gate, beautiful, is healed. And immediately two of the leaders, Peter and John, are taken before the church council and threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus. So they face opposition. And you can imagine some of that courage beginning to go. Some of that wholehearted commitment to God beginning to go, because the leaders, the Jewish leaders have come up in opposition. You can imagine them, some of the fear beginning to come in, and some of that resolution and fire and determination beginning to go. Well, what do? They pray. You read Acts chapter 4, and it says, when Peter and John were released by the council, they went back to their friends, and they reported to them what had happened. So they said, well, the Jewish leaders brought us before the council, and they threatened us. And the church said, we must pray, because God gave us courage on the day of Pentecost. Well, let's pray that again the Holy Spirit will come. So they prayed, and it says the Holy Spirit came. And the place where they met was shaken, and they were filled with courage, and they went out preaching, and they were united, and they cared for one another. And it says, and the grace of God was upon them. I wonder if we at Copse Road Chapel just need to pray and pray and pray. Lord, we have become lukewarm. We have become half-hearted. We have become tired. We have become, I don't know, just flat and stayed in our Christian lives. And Lord, we need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what would happen if all of us from today began to pray this? Can you imagine that? All of us, we began to pray this. It's a biblical prayer. And we're not going into any controversial areas. I'm not a charismatic. Maybe I should have put that proviso down at the beginning. I'm not here sneaking in tongue speaking and so on by the back door. I promise you that. I'm not a charismatic. I haven't come with a charismatic agenda to Copse Road, to convert Copse Road into a charismatic church. This is not about the charismatics and the charismatic gift and so on. This is about passion for God. This is about zeal for God. This is about living our lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we do this every day? Why don't you every day make this resolution? I will pray that God, the Holy Spirit, comes to fill me daily. Doesn't have to be once a day. You can pray that through the day. Can pray right through the day. You know, if you face a particularly difficult situation and you are tempted, and you know that in this situation, when it arose the last time, you lost your temper, or you said words that you shouldn't have said, or you had thoughts that you shouldn't have had, well, why not pause and say to the Holy Spirit, help me, I'm being tempted here. Help me, fill me, help me, so that I won't fall into sin. Last time this situation happened, I lost my temper. I lost it. Help me not to lose it again. Do that. Ask God to help you. And right through the day, ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you. There's a wonderful phrase in Acts chapter 4, which I've always loved. It's when Peter says, to the people in Jerusalem about asking God for the Holy Spirit. And he says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, he says, times of refreshing will come upon you. Times of refreshing will come upon you. Do you know what people do in Kenya when the rains begin? 15th of March, rains begin in Nairobi. It's almost like you could tell the date by the day the rains begin. Sometimes a day late, but rarely. And do you know what people do in Kenya when the rains come? They go out and stand in the rain. They just go out and stand in the rain. About half an hour, 45 minutes. Because from October till 14th of March, we've had nothing but heat. That's the hottest period. End of October to the 14th of March is our hot season. And there's not a spot of rain, not a drop of rain. You don't get a drop of rain. Kenyan weather is very predictable. Don't get a drop of rain. You go right through November, go right through December, Christmas, no rain. You go right through January, and Nairobi was hottest in January. You go right through February, no rain. So you've had 4 months of no rain, and we're all sweating, and we're all tired and flat, and you know how it is, month after month after month. And then the rains come. Now, I never did this. My children did, but I never did. But the people, it was interesting. They would just go and stand in the rain. Times of refreshing have come. And of course, they feel refreshed. It's been 4 months of hot weather, dry, dry weather, and then times of refreshing have come. The Holy Spirit comes and brings times of refreshing. Do you want refreshing in your Christian life? Do you know it is there? God refreshes people. Did you know that? God refreshes his people. Ask him. Don't wait till tomorrow. Ask him today. Ask him that he would come to us by his Holy Spirit. Fill us with his Spirit. Fill us with love. Romans 5:5, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And times of refreshing will come. That was meant to be a summary of last week, but I've gone on a bit. I am going to look at the next bit because I want to start the next bit of this study. So in verse 9, Paul begins to pray, to offer supplication, requests for the church in Colossae. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, asking that the Holy Spirit might come and fill you afresh. And then in verse 10, he says, what the result is. If you pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will come to visit you, and you must pray that. I urge you to pray that. Pray that for the church. Pray that God, the Holy Spirit, comes and refreshes us and renews us and revives us and regenerates us. Now, what will happen? Well, Paul says in verse 10, so as, in other words, he says, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the result will be so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. That, he says, will be the result. You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Now, isn't that what we want? We want to walk, we want to live our daily Christian lives in a manner that is worthy of our Lord. He loves us. He has loved us and given us his Son. We surely want to honor him in our lives. We want to glorify him. We want to live lives that are worthy of the Lord. One of the reasons, one of the things we always need to keep in mind is, what will people say about the Lord? So if I'm walking down the road and somebody behaves in a bad way, and if I start shouting, in a bad-tempered way and using horrible words. Well, what is that going to do for the name of the Lord? And people say, oh, he's a Christian. Is that how Christians behave? So you see, we have to walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord. Our words, our thoughts, our actions, our behavior towards each other, the things we say to each other, the things we think about other Christians must always be worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Now, what does that mean? How do we live a life worthy of the Lord? How do we live a life fully pleasing to God? The passage we have before us, verses 10 to 12, is one of the most important passages in the whole Bible. Because in this passage, the Bible tells us how we live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him. That's what this passage is about. This passage tells you how to live a life worthy of the Lord, how to live a life fully pleasing to God. There are four things. I'm not going to deal with all four things tonight. I'm just going to introduce them. I'm going to begin dealing with them next week. There are four things, and they're easy to identify. You just run your eye through the passage, and you will see four things, all ending in ing, ing. Okay, so verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And then our Bibles has very helpfully put down a colon, meaning here is the list. First of all, bearing fruit in every good work. Secondly, increasing in the knowledge of God. Thirdly, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Fourthly, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's your list. The four verbs ending in ing are the four things we are to do in order to live a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Now, I don't want to begin it tonight because it is an important list, and I wanted to look at what it means to bear fruit, and I wanted to look at Galatians 5 and so on. We will leave that till next time because my introduction has been quite long. But what I would say to you is have a look at that list, perhaps make a list of your own somewhere and make that your prayer. You know, the things that God asks us to do, we can ask him to do in us. I wonder if you've ever thought of it like that. The things that God asks us to do, we can ask him to do in us. That was a statement made by an African theologian called Augustine, who lived in Tunisia in the 4th century AD, a very, very important church history theologian, Augustine. And Augustine had this statement. And Augustine said, Lord, command what you will, and will what you command. Command whatever you want, but give me the will to do what you command. Command what you will what you command. And we need, you see, when we see a list like this, we mustn't become intimidated. Oh dear, God wants me to be bearing fruit and growing in knowledge and so on. Well, I'm no good at this and I failed in the past and so on. Or, well, I'd better get on with it. Pray. Take each one to God. Maybe that could be our prayer for the coming days. We take each one to the Lord and we say, well, Lord, I want to live a life worthy of you. I want to live a life fully pleasing to you. Here is the list in your own word. So Keshe hasn't invented the list. The list is there in your own word. You have written the list by the Spirit. I'm bringing that list to you. You have told me that I must be bearing fruit. and I must be increasing in knowledge, and I must be being strengthened, and I must be giving thanks in all things. And I'm praying, Lord, will you help me to be a Christian that bears fruit? Will you help me, Lord, to be a Christian that is increasing in knowledge? Will you help me to be a Christian that is being strengthened with all power, and a Christian that is giving thanks in all things? Let's take it to the Lord and ask that daily the Holy Spirit visits us, and ask that daily he refreshes us, and ask that daily he enables us to live a life worthy of his name, fully pleasing to him. So that's the, I've given you basically the layout for the next few weeks of Bible study, because we're going to look at that list. As I say, those verses 10 to 12, I'm sure you've heard preaching from them before. They are very famous verses. And it is, as I said, one of the most important passages in the whole of the New Testament, because it's so beautifully put. He says, live a life worthy to the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, beautifully laid out. And just about every preacher, I've preached on it numerous times, every preacher has taken this and brought it to a church. Well, let's refresh ourselves and refresh our memories with this lovely passage. So beginning next week, then we'll begin to look at this list, bearing fruit, and what that means. And of course, it is the Holy Spirit himself living in us and bearing fruit. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we'll look at that from next week.